This is probably one of my three most favorite readings in the New Testament. So much is it one of my favorites that I used this reading when I was ordained to the priesthood. And the reason I used it is I'm very taken with the dynamics of the reading. Now, let me go through it with you. Jesus is teaching the people, and everybody is pressing in on him so much that he gets into a boat. Now, the boat, you can imagine, is pulled up a little ways, but still in the water, in the shallows. And so the people stand back, and the boat gives Jesus a protection. Now, one of the details in the gospel, it says that Jesus saw the boat, and the fishermen were cleaning their nets. Now, I'm not a fisherman. But I do know enough to know that when you take nets and you are putting them up for the night, you have to clean them. Because when you're fishing, you grab all kinds of plants and trash and stuff like that. And you got to make sure that the nets are clean and not any stuff on them, mainly because what will happen is they'll rot. And the net will rot with it. And so, when Jesus is finished teaching, he turns to Peter, and he says, "Put out into the deep, and lower your nets for a catch." Now, Peter, notice, these people have been out all night long. They have caught nothing. And Peter is tired, probably, by now. His men are tired from having cleaned the nets and put them up. And so Peter should have said to Jesus something like this. He should have said, "Look, Jesus, you're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. If you were to give me advice on carpentry, I would take it because I know that you know what you're doing in carpentry. I'm a fisherman. I'm telling you, ain't no fish out there. We spent all night long, and take my expert opinion, there is no reasonable hope that you're going to catch fish this late in the day out there." That's what Peter could have said. But notice what he does say. Now, Peter doesn't say, "Yes, sir." Peter gives his reasoning to Jesus. He says, "Lord, we've been hard at it all night, and we have caught nothing." Now, that is experience and reason speaking. But then he says, "But if you say so, at your command, I will do it." Why did Peter do what he did? He didn't do it because he had a reasonable hope of success. He did it because that was the order he got from Jesus. "At your command, I will do it." One of the things that always impresses me about Jesus is how he owns the authority that he has. Notice, Jesus, when it comes to his disciples, this is one of the things I object to sometimes when we ask for volunteers. Do you ever hear Jesus going up to people and saying, I'm sorry, but if any of y'all have any time that you could donate to the church, would you be able to volunteer to help us do X, Y, Z? Can you imagine Jesus going up to the apostles and saying, hey, if y'all aren't too busy, would you like to kind of like maybe part-time be my disciples? How's that? I don't want to interfere with your life. You don't hear Jesus saying, could I have any volunteers? What do you hear Jesus say? Come, follow me. Jesus, he's giving orders. He said to the, put out for a catch. He didn't say, Simon, would you consider me rude if I were to ask you to put out for a catch? You know, one of the things that I'm always, I smile about myself internally. I think often of the sacrament that makes me a priest. The sacrament that makes me a priest. Holy orders, right? Take away the adjective, and what do you get? Orders. Why? Because when God speaks to you, God speaks to you not in, hey, kind of, do you have any time? Would you like to? Just speak to you like that. God speaks to you, and now, if you're a Christian, you understand that it's a command. And it's a command that if the relationship is between me and God, that the command is something that I am obligated to follow. Not because God is saying it in some sort of a pushing me down way. Sometimes God will come into your life and say, no commandment, which do you want? Sometimes you're faced with something that you can pick between several good things, and God says, which one do you want? Remember, Jesus one time said, ask for what you want, and if you ask in my name, meaning inside my will, I will give it to you. So it's not that God is constantly giving us orders, but at the same time, being a disciple of Jesus is not about, I kind of want to and I kind of don't. And so when I was ordained, I remember thinking, and even to this day, I do that. I'm not doing what I do because I enjoy it. I do enjoy it. There's no question about it. I've been a priest now. This June 3rd will be 39 years. Okay? I've been a priest 39 years, and I love it. But even if I didn't love it, I would still be obligated to do it. Why? Because I promised, and because I was given a command. I was given holy orders. Now, please understand, that has consequences, not only for me, but for you. When you were baptized, when you were confirmed, if you call yourself a disciple of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus is a follower who's trying to learn how to live by accepting orders from Jesus. That's what we do. You know, and this is nothing new. We have the Ten Commandments, remember? They are commands. They're not the 10 suggestions, if you like them. Right? They're the 10 commandments. And when Jesus tells you, this is what your responsibility is. It happens to all of us. There are mornings when I wake up and I'm laying in bed and go, I don't want to go to church today. Okay, you think you're the only ones who don't want to go to church? Okay, it happens to all of us. We don't want to go to church. Because you'd rather do what you want to do. But that's the mark of a person who is an adult. It is the mark of being able to be responsible. Notice, able to respond. Able to know what it is that you ought to do. For me, one of the biggest things in being a Christian and being a priest is the word duty. It is my duty. It's interesting because in a few minutes when I celebrate when we do the preface, you'll hear it. In the preface, it's the part of the Mass that says, that I'll start out by saying, the Lord be with you. And you'll say, and also with your spirit. And then I'll say, lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. And then the priest will start. It is right. It is just. It is our duty and our salvation always and everywhere to give you thanks, Almighty and ever-living God. We are in a relationship with God to where he is our Father, but we also have duties towards him. And following the commandments and following the example of Jesus is our obligation. It is something that we do. And we do it ultimately because it's true and because it's good. You know, I want to bring this over to last week we talked about DSF. And I was telling to you why we do DSF. Because when we do DSF is because at the end of his life, Jesus had all of his disciples in front of him. And he said, go to all nations. Teach what I have taught you. And baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we are here today because the original apostles didn't stay home. We are here today because they obeyed Jesus and said, we will go because you told us to go to the ends of the earth. We do it because the Lord has told us to do it. And that's our relationship with him. In terms of DSF, by the way, and I'm going to finish my homily, I'm going to transition into just a few moments to give you a chance to fill out a pledge card if you've not already done so. Last week we talked about DSF. And DSF, if you don't know what that is, it's called the Diocesan Services Fund. And it's to deal with issues and things that we have a responsibility to do because no one church can do it all. The example that makes the most sense to me is the example of visiting people in the hospital or in a nursing home. In the diocese, there's this, the practice and the rule is whatever nursing home or hospital is in your parish boundary, the parish is responsible for every single person in that nursing home. So let's say, you know, we have a nursing home here in this parish, and there's a person in the nursing home from the Woodlands. The priest in the Woodlands is not responsible for visiting his parishioner in the nursing home. It's my responsibility. Why? Because they are residing in my parish, and I'm responsible. So every parish is responsible for the parishes, for the nursing homes, and for the hospitals in their boundaries. Now, that sounds great, right? But as I always say, imagine now that you're sitting at St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church, located at the intersection of Buffalo Speedway and Holcomb. Do you remember what's inside their parish boundaries? The Texas Medical Center. Now, apply the policy. All of a sudden, you've got several thousand hospital beds and thousands of Catholics there. And what are we, those two guys at that parish supposed to do? Are they going to be able to cover it? They can't. And so what do we say? Do we say, well, you know, luck of the draw, sorry. No, we can't. Why? Because it's our duty. It's our responsibility. People need the sacraments, especially when they're sick. Nobody feels so alone as when they're sick. And so it's at those moments that we have to say, we're Catholic. We have received our orders from Jesus, and we have to respond. How do we do that? DSF. They put together a group of priests, sisters, brothers, and all they do, this huge group of priests, brothers, and sisters, all they do is visit people in the medical center and bring them the sacraments. I found that. Look at that. Jesus calls us to be fishers of men, not keepers of the aquarium. I love that. Now, why does that make sense? Because you could imagine a parish being like an aquarium. Okay? Our job is not to stay enclosed in our little, you know, place. Our job is to go out, as Jesus said in the gospel today. He said, put out into the deep. Don't stay safe right there where it's really nice and comfortable at the shore. Put out into the deep, because our responsibilities go way beyond just taking care of our little aquarium or our little parish. Okay? So, at the end of your pews, some of you pledged last year, and by the way, thank you so much, because last year, because of those of you who pledged and made your pledge, we were able to really make our contribution. Every parish in the archdiocese has to take 10% of what your entire offering is for the whole year. And then we pledge 10% of that total to the archdiocese. And the archdiocese organizes not only hospital ministries, but they organize ministry to jails, ministry in the Port of Houston, the education of seminarians, ministry to the deaf, ministry to the mentally handicapped. And it goes on and on. There are clinics that take care of people who can't afford medical services. There are homes for unwed mothers. There's homes for people with AIDS. All kinds of stuff that happens. And all of it comes from DSF. Now, if you look at the pledge card, it's fairly self-explanatory. The first part is just normal. You know, your email, your address, phone number, stuff like that. But the second part is where I want to make sure you understand it. What we're asking in that first, in response to Christ's call, here is my gift, our gift, total to DSF. That's for the whole year, okay? One of the things what we suggest to people is plan per family. If we had per family $1 a day, if we had $1 a day, look, I went to Starbucks this morning and it was $3.50. But $1 a day, okay, $1 a day would suffice. And so think about it. You could say you put $365. It could be all one-time gift or monthly, or you could give it per month or quarterly. And even if you want to put it on your credit card, you can put it on your credit card or direct debit. And also, you can, if you use Faith Direct, which is our electronic giving, there's also a place there that you can give on Faith Direct. Please, but be serious. We found a card that was pledging $1 million, but it was the handwriting of a kid. Okay, so we knew that it wasn't real. At first, our hearts jumped for joy, but then we said, oh, this isn't real. Okay? So if you're really going to give us $1 million, let us know. Okay? So I'll take you out to dinner. So, and just sign it. You don't have to do it today, although we're going to give you just a few seconds, a few minutes to do it now, but you can bring it next week. You can put it in the mail. Bring it by, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. Okay? So that, but what we ask is that no matter how much or how little, we really want everybody to participate because it's all of us. Jesus gave the mission to all of us. He didn't just give it to the priest and the nuns. So, take a few minutes now. The band could do some doodling or maybe sing a meditation song. By the way, thank you guys so much for skipping Super Bowl today. Thank you. Take a few moments and look at those cards if possible.